The lever thrown, the portal lid, our heroes pulled into the rift. Their next stop is unknown. In Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
They're here now, gone now, far away from home. In Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Which road leads home they do not know, so they will roll. They roll.
Roll those dice.
They roll.
Crit fail twice.
Until the road leads home, they will roll. Roll, Quantum Dungeon.
Welcome back to Quantum Dungeon, where the roles are real, but the science is made up. I'm Harrison Redward, your Dungeon Master, and with me, as always, I have the bamboozled compatriots, the tricked crew who thought they found a friend they knew. Let's go around the table.
I am Adam Cooperdine. I am playing Will Smythe. That's Smythe, dear, not Smith.
I'm Zach Blaylock, and I play Patricia Moynihan. And I'm an actor, darling.
I'm Erin Muller, playing the Queen, also known as the fairest of them all.
And I'm Tyler Cooperdine. I'll be playing the Prince.
All right. So, yep, we have a new guest star. Tyler is joining us, and he'll learn a little bit more about his character as we carry on. But first off, let's have a little time for a little surprising recap. You arrived in a new realm, unfortunately unable to track down your fellow compatriot Marina. After exploring your entry point, you discovered a strange magical coin and some leftover yarn that was likely left by your knitting friend. Venturing out of the woods, you found a convoy of travelers and shopkeepers headed toward a gilded city in the distance. Very quickly, you discovered a seeming obsession with something called Harcoins. After some informative visits with various members of the Christofferson clan, you decided to enter the Gilded City yourself to better understand the upcoming Queen's Games. Upon approaching the city gates, you witnessed a man taken by the gambler's curse as he lost his final Harcoin and turned into gold dust. At the gate, you were given your own Harcoins in place of your health. Within the city, and with the aid of Skeevy Pete, you were able to get a bead on Marina's location. Rushing to the location, you saw a woman of Marina's description being held by three large thugs. Tricking your way into the room, you then realized quickly that the woman was actually a man that was found on the face of the magical coin from the forest, and your friend was still out there, missing. And that's where we are now. So you deceived your way into this room, if I recall correctly.
Oh, you do. I rolled a nat 20.
Yes. Very well, you deceived your way into this room. And the guy says, I don't understand why you're here. You make a strong argument, but we're going to need to ask you to leave. We've got business with this lady here.
And I have business with her as well. As I said, that is my mother in there, Marina. And we have business of our own to see to. Now, if you don't mind, and she's going to, Patricia will push her way in through the door.
Okay. Oh, ma'am, I don't want to cause any conflict with you, but we have business with this woman, and you don't understand what's going on here. You don't know. This is not your mother. This is a trickster in disguise.
I'll have you know, she's the matriarch of our family, and she carries herself with anything but resolve. Please, mother, please come along with me, and I'll reach. Is she like bound or? I know that it's, like, I Patricia, know it's not Marina, correct?
Yes.
It's okay. I mean, actors get swapped out last second all the time. Like, you know, maybe this is new Marina season 2. it's like where they change the mom in Fresh Prince. Like, you know, it's kind of like that. We just kind of move with it.
Smythe is kind of wondering if this is what Marina looks like sober. she hasn't...
When she applies her night cream.
Yeah, she...
as far as I know, she is bound currently.
She's sitting in the chair. It doesn't appear that she's bound. It appears that, like, there's two big thugs next to her that are obviously, like, holding her, like, kind of there to keep her in place. And the third thug is the one talking to you.
And surely, sir, it should not take three large men as yourselves to restrain a woman of an indeterminate age.
And the main guy kind of rolls his eyes and he looks over at the goons and he says, Boris and Boris, like, let's do away with the disguise. And he pulls back, and one of them grabs at the head wrap that this person has applied. Like, like a scarf, a babushka scarf, and pulls it away. And you see, Tyler, would you like to describe your character of how you look?
Yeah, so I have... So I'm about 27-ish years old. I've got curly hair. At the moment, it is pink. I have what looks like a little, like, mole in the shape of a heart under, like, my right eye. And I'm dressed like a... just imagine how Prince Charming would be dressed with the tights and the little boots and everything, but all in different shades of lavender. But I look very disheveled.
Gorgeous.
And he says, so this is your mother?
Darling,
I gotta say, she looks great for her age.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm trying to. And Patricia does recognize this person as the person being on the coin?
Yes.
Okay. Am I still riding the high of my nat 20? I don't remember what sort of role it was.
Ride that high as long as you want.
Was it a perception or
I think it was a
persuasion?
Deception. I think it was deception. You deceived them into thinking that...
It was your mom.
You knew the person in there.
Okay. Does it, so am I still able to ride that 20, or because nearly a month has passed IRL, it doesn't...
What action would you like to ride on that 20?
the role of it.
just the idea that, convincing them that it is actually my mother.
Oh.
That's my name, is my mother. That's what...
So am I, or do I need to roll again just to...
Yeah, you're gonna have to roll again, and you're gonna, it's gonna be, I think it's basically impossible, because they know him.
Oh, okay.
They know him.
Okay, so they know who he is. Okay. They know that this 27-year-old in lavender and pink hair is not the mother of me, a 60-ish-year-old woman.
Yeah, the nat 20 more of you deceiving them was them letting you in because they were confused. Okay. As to, like, how is it possible that you know this person?
Roll for deception, a.k.a. confusion.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out how... So it was supposed to me of just, like... okay, so at this point, it's just the reveal?
Yes.
Shit. Well, no, this is not my mother, but it is someone who closely associates with her. So all the same, I would like to see their release from your, coverage in here. We, again, as I said, we have business to attend to.
Okay.
She's not our mother, but she has a mother.
He says, well, you can have him when we're done with him. We got some... things that we got,
What exactly do you need from them?
Well, I'm afraid that if we want to go into that, we're going to have a discussion about why you think you deserve to communicate with this person more than me.
Well, why should you be able to any more than I can?
We've got business with him.
Well,
we
I'm in this room, and are you not?
Do you have a contract with him?
Do I have a contract with him? It's called a social contract.
And he says,
Yeah, I start reading Jean-Jacques Rousseau's Social Contract.
And he says, Boris and Boris, we're going to have to do this in a different area. And they say, Boris, we don't want to move him. We already took time to rent this room, and we don't have a ton of hard coins. Like, come on, man. The boss isn't going to refund us if we don't get the answers from him. Can't we just shove this old lady on her way?
Old lady? I slap that person.
Okay, that would be Boris.
Can you give me an idea of the various spellings of these names, since they're all variations of Boris?
Yeah, so it's Boris, B-O-R-I-S, Boris, like Maurice, but with Bor, so B-O-R-I-C-E, and then Borace, which is B-O-R-A-C-E. Boris, Boris, Boris.
Oh, great. I wrote Borace for all of them, because that's what I thought you were saying. I was like, they all three have the same fucking name? Okay.
Boris, Boris, Boris.
Got it.
Do you want me to roll to slap this man?
Yeah, this will be actually an interesting thing.
Is this Boris, Boris, or Boris?
This is Boris. Boris.
With an I?
Yep.
Is it just strength?
Yeah, and dexterity, or you can do slight like dexterity if you want.
Okay, it's going to be a 15.
You slap him, and you don't, one, you don't feel the sting of, like, the sting on your own hand of hitting someone on the face, and there's no mark on his face. It doesn't leave redness. It looks like you did nothing. So when you do it, you slap, and you expect to feel, like, the heat of that sting from slapping him. And you expect to see a big handprint on his face, but there's nothing. There's no, and he says, okay.
It was more of a, well, it was more of a stage.
Why don't we all calm down? But you definitely hit him, but you notice no sting in your hand and no mark on his face. And he just kind of chuckles and brushes you away.
We'll find them, whoever you are. First, I would remind you to perhaps watch your tongue. Secondly, ask your questions and we will be on our way.
He says, well, it may take some time. You mind stepping outside?
I do mind. And she has a seat at the table. I assume, is it like there are other tables in this room? I don't know. She has a seat.
Yeah, there's some chairs.
She pulls a table out of her bag.
He kind of runs his hand through his hair, and he's like, ugh. He's like, oh, we just wanted to get this done for Cogman, and then we were done for the day. All right, well, Clive... enough with the bullshit. Where's the woman you promised us? You know you made a deal. Come on.
Listen, Borbor, it sounds like this lady here has some very important business to do with me, so I'll just go check in with her real quick, and I'll be right back, I promise. I'm just going to step outside.
Clive Cogman is not going to let you just walk around and walk all over the contracts you signed with him. This is the third time you burned him.
That's not at all what I'm doing. That's just like you, Borbor. You're so suspicious all the time. Fine. What are your questions?
Well, I feel like I need to let this lady have her peace. So here's what I'll say. You can go step outside for 3 minutes. I'm sending Boris and Boris with you. They're gonna plug their ears, but they're gonna guard the hall so you can't leave. You can have your 3 minutes to discuss, then you're back in here and you're answering our questions, okay?
Right. Okay.
And he looks to you, Patricia.
Could they also, like, turn around and face away from me? You know how I feel about peasants making eye contact.
That's fine, but they're blocking the exits. Peasants, oh my God. Come on, Clive, you're here in the gutter too. Don't start with this higher-than-thou bullshit.
Listen, I mean, I might be in the gutter, but I didn't start in the gutter like some people.
Ma'am, would that be okay with you? And you can get on with our questioning?
So we're just going to step outside... and then they're going to turn around and not face us and plug their ears, right?
But they are going to guard the exits, Clive. We know you're a slippery one.
But we'll be outside, though, right?
You'll be in the hallway outside of the apartment.
I see. Okay.
A lot of qualifiers.
Well, I would really like some fresh air. Would it? I mean,
no.
Would it be too much to ask to just be able to step outside for like 1 sec?
Clive, they're going to be watching those gates like a hawk. You're not going anywhere. 5 minutes, 3 minutes. And then you're back in here, and you're answering our questions, and you're letting us know where this woman is.
Right.
You had a promise. You made a deal. We gave you an important treasure, and I haven't seen that, so you probably lost that, too, because we know that you're unhelpful and unuseful. Ooh. So this is your third strike. You don't want to see what Cogman's going to do to you if you've come back barehanded. Empty-handed. Words. All right. 3 minutes.
And
Boris.
They're going to close their eyes, right?
No, they're going to open their eyes. They're going to look the other way, Clive. Boris, Boris, don't interfere with their conversation. Let them have their privacy, but make sure no one leaves.
All right.
You guys shuffle into the hallway.
All right, 5 minutes it is. And I like hook his arm.
Three!
And we will like
door shuts.
So what's the plan? How are you rescuing me?
Okay, first of all, excuse me. Where did you get your lovely scarf? Where is my friend? Who are you? And what do we need to be doing right now?
It's a handmade scarf from my mother when she used to know how to knit.
She used to know how to knit.
Yes.
Where did you get the scarf? Where is our friend Marina?
Veronica?
Who? Older woman, indeterminate age. You don't know what Europe is. accent.
Did you know what Siberia is? So we established that last
time. Oh, yeah, we do. potentially Siberian accent.
Oh, yes. I think maybe I did see someone of that description. She was... So, I might have seen her in the bar, possibly. And she might have given me this scarf as a token of her gratefulness for the deed I did for her. So she said that in return, her friends were going to come and they were going to rescue me. So now here you are, right?
Hmm. That does seem likely that she was in a bar. So thus far, the story checks out.
You can do an insight check against his bullshit, and he can do a persuasion check against it, or a deception check if he's lying.
Let me just go run that. As soon as he said, like, her friends, like, I don't know if we're, like, tight like that. what's your persuasion check, I guess?
Or
I guess?
So he'll roll a check, and you'll roll a check, and we'll see your thoughts on the feeling, on the matter.
I rolled a 13.
17.
So it seems relatively believable. Like, Marina loves bars, and she does knit things for people sometimes, but you're a little unsure of his reasoning.
Seems a little out of character for her, but then again, we're in a completely different world.
Well, I can't speak to
that. So, Smythe, I'm going to say at this point, Skeevy Pete is like, I'm going to run a distraction so you can get up there to your friends, okay? Don't worry. I know this guy, Boris. He owes me money. It's no big deal, but, like, we have a deal. It's cool. So, hey, Boris! Boris, you piece of shit! You owe me some money, you asshole! I know you do, and don't tell me that you don't, you liar! And he's getting up in Boris's face, so there's a moment for you to slip by.
I duck away then, yeah, and go. Yeah. Is it upstairs?
And you run up. Upstairs? Yeah, you head up the hallway into, and you run into these two talking.
So what sort of is happening with all of these various Borises? Is there anything you can tell us in this moment? Are we going to be put under some sort of duress if we do spring you from this proverbial jail?
Are you asking me directly? I thought you were talking to Harrison.
No, he's talking to you. He's talking to you.
In character, the prince also says, okay. Oh, are you talking to me?
Yeah, that's.
Oh, sorry, I drifted off there for a moment. Well, let's say they're what you might call hard men, where they are known for busting kneecaps and things like that for any unpaid debts. And I feel like if we're caught trying to escape, then certainly there might be some repercussions for that. So we just don't get caught.
Well, I certainly don't want to mix up myself nor my compatriots into your sort of troubles. However, we are always willing to help a friend in need. You are a friend, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Smythe runs up at this point.
I mean, William, at least Marina has called you a friend, enough to give you a scarf.
Oh, yes.
Scarf.
Yes, we shared many shots of vodka together.
Where's Marina?
Not here.
Oh.
Is this another friend of Veronica's?
And I... I'm Will Smythe, dear. That's Smythe. Mm. You can call me whatever. He kind of gets weak at the need.
I don't think I'll be calling you anything, but thank you.
His shoulders slump.
She without even looking, and pats him on the shoulder. What is our situation currently? We have one gentleman at one end of the hallway, another there, and one inside the room being berated by our friend.
And you hear
Peter.
A boom, boom, boom. You got 1 minute, ma'am. Thank you, too.
Smythe calls.
Your name is Clyde, correct? Is that what I heard when in the room?
Yes, that's correct.
Clyde? Like a horse? A Clydesdale?
Clive. Some people might refer to me as Your Grace.
Your name is
you
Grace?
If you wanted to. No, that's just, you know, one of my titles.
Another royal in the court, and she, like, taps the key on her chest? On her waist? On her chest.
I think it's around your neck.
You have it under around a necklace, yeah.
And then I eyeball the key. And can I do an investigation check to see if it's charged up all the way.
Yeah,
yet.
You see the key is like, you don't even have to investigate. It's thrumming with energy. It Ooh. Is twinkling. So
Gross.
it's like
I hate that.
It's like kind of it's bouncing against like the it's ready to be used.
It's like shimmying on Patricia's
yeah,
chest.
It's like you hear like a small voice in it that's like
what an interesting trinket you have there.
They're not taking notes. Screaming through the key.
Okay, so my final question in this last minute that we have, where are we going once we get out of here? So we make it through that door past one of the various Borises. Because
well,
we need you to lead us to our friend.
Your
that is
friend.
Of utmost importance.
Well, I don't know, to be honest. I mean, there's only one road that leads out of here. So there's only one way she really could have gone. So we could try going that way once we leave. But, you know, the main thing is we just need to get out of here. After that, we can worry about all the, you know, particulars after that.
Of course. Well, William, it looks like we're going to need to make another mistake, escape.
Great. Another great escape.
You've made notice of the key around my neck. I, Patricia, and Zach don't know what to do with it.
I just can Smite just snatches it off of her chest.
I mean, yeah, I said I touched
you
my chest.
It. Okay, well, sorry. When you tapped it, I should have mentioned. As you tap it, you see in front of you just a keyhole appears in the air. Actually,
Sora, the keyblade.
Nice.
So two keyholes like shimmer in the air.
Two keyholes?
Because you gotta you get the copy key and you get the paste
keys.
Key.
Copy key and the paste key.
Understood. Okay. So like when she I guess mentions that, well, it seems we have another royal in the court. I tap my chest and I just see these two things appear in front of me.
It doesn't seem that Clive notices them or that Smythe notices them. It appears that it's something only you can see.
I've just noticed the key and remembered, like, oh wait,
yeah.
I push them both aside, and I, having seen the locks appear in the various spaces before, I will go ahead and take the keys off my neck. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's. I'm just gonna assume I put them in. Do they have?
As you put them in, they kind of like slide in, like you feel like. A little bit of resistance as they go in, and then you twist, and they click. And the keys melt into the air and form, like, a body out of, like, bronze and brass and the gold of the key. And then like a droplet shimmering through the body shape, it boom, and it changes into, like, skin and flesh and all. It's the queen again. She's back.
She what morphs happened? Bones first.
Yeah. You just see a skeleton and she's like...
You just see me being built layer by layer.
Yeah. It's horrifying.
It's horrifying and none of you are able to speak for the next 30 minutes.
Everyone vomits three times.
That's our show, guys.
So she just appears in front of me or... Like,
yes.
What do I see?
I mean, you see like this morph of like... golden metal that becomes like this body shape and then a boom, like a pool, like literally like dropping a water drop into a pool, the final like crystal element of the key falls into it and it's like a ripple effect of appearing the queen as a ripple passes through her body. And as you like come into physicality, the bag of hard coins that Patricia was carrying of yours appear, it like floats to your hip, like connects to your hip.
What happens to the keys? Are they just gone?
They like melted into what is
they
me
melt?
Now,
they
right?
formed she what is now.
Okay, oh, as man. The bag of Harcoins like lands on my hip or whatever, I just the process while this was I was being formed. I'm moving around. Once you start to see my face, you can see my mouth moving even before it's fully formed. I'm moving around. I'm talking. I'm yelling. And as that final drop appears, I'm just fully, like, I'm there. You're finally being caught up on a conversation I'd been having with you this entire time. And I said, it's about time. How long were you planning on keeping me in there? What on earth happened? Who is this? Where are we? Patricia, some information, please.
What was in that vodka?
Jeez. In due time, Your Majesties. Does this cause any sort of commotion with other?
Oh, the door opens. And he says, your minute's up. Who the hell is this?
Oh, this is my auntie.
Who the hell are you to speak to me in such a way?
What do you mean speak to you in that manner? I put you out here with just Clive. Clive, come on, man. I said no funny business. Get your asses back in here. We're finishing up this discussion now.
I will not have you reference my ass in any way, shape, or form. Who are you?
I am Boris, and I am Boris of the Chestnut Crew, and we have a deal with this man, and we are going to get this sorted out so that we can go on our way. The other two walk back up from the hallway, and we're going to enter this first social combat. A new thing.
Do I have any sort of advantage? They didn't know I was there. I know they just opened the door and saw all of us.
Because they see you now. So this is going to be a new mechanic for this world, because there's going to be less focus on physical combat, so we're going to do a little bit more social focus. So the goal of this, I kind of am pulling this from a couple different places, like the idea behind it. It kind of lives a little bit from Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, a little bit from a game called Griftlands, where you fight using arguments and things like that. So it's kind of a mixture of those systems into my brain, and this is what it churned out. So you guys are going to enter a social combat. Basically, your guys' combined charisma modifier, which we already calculated is 8, acts as your pool of hit points versus their combined charisma modifier. You're going to be able to do some actions during this. The first thing that we're going to do is you guys are going to tell me if you think that this, your best course of discourse, that I call it, is to persuade, intimidate, or deceive. You're going to have, during combat, quote-unquote, we'll take turns. You guys will always be on the offensive, while the other people will be on the defensive, just trying to, you know, argue back why they think they're right. Your options during this time are to break free from secrets, some secrets. Because of Smythe's psionic power, you can see if they're hiding something. You're able to take an action to make a physical psionic attack. It won't make your character look like they're like punching the air, but you do it in your mental state. But by opening yourself up to Smythe's psionic network, you put yourself at risk of being attacked by their inner demons, which could cause you guys to take some, I call the overall health social integrity damage. If you end up failing and losing all your social integrity HP, a combat will start. So it will lead to a fight. And you guys will be at a disadvantage if you fail.
But our social integrity total is the total of all of ours, right?
Yes. Yeah, so
which you said 8. Is an 8.
Mm-hmm. Because you have a -1, so you're bringing everyone down.
Okay, you don't have to keep saying that.
Yeah, you're bringing everybody down.
Okay, well, so also, Smythe's going to be standing in the corner just silent, like punching and kicking
punching
at nobody. But yeah, just...
Another option you have during combat, each person gets one action. Another action you can do is to investigate for evidence. This gives you the opportunity to look at facial cues or maybe a physical object around the room that may motivate what this discussion is about. If a teammate successfully stalls the conversation, which is a third action, then you'll have advantage on this check. So you'll be able to advantage. If the teammate fails their stall attempt, then you'll have disadvantage, and the enemy may put up some kind of defense. Enemies, when you fail actions against the enemy, they may get more guarded with their secrets, which may make it either more difficult to break the secrets out, or there may be a negative effect to breaking the secrets out, that in the sense that you may take damage. A lot of the mechanics around damage and attacks and things like that, I'm going to manage. You guys just have to worry about the evidence and the details and the words that you want to come up with. So like I said, your third action is to stall. If you're not ready to make an argument and you don't think you have enough information, you can have a character choose to stall, and they will keep the conversation going and prevent any negative effects. But if you stall for too long, it can, if you ever fail a stall check, it can make them get more defensive and start to get bored with the discussion, leading to potential damage. The last thing and the most important move is make an argument. So when you do have a piece of evidence that you're ready to present that you think undermines their argument for what they think they're right about, you can make an argument which will deal damage to their core defense. And if you break their main argument, you win the conversation. So I already gave these guys a little bit of a more detailed overview, but that's a very brief breakdown. We're going to give this a try. We're going to see how it goes. As a final note, as bards, there's two bards in the group. As bards, you are able to spend an inspiration dice to make any action that somebody performs an inspired version of it. For anything that has a dice check, like rolling a check, it will give the typical bardic bonus of, I think, 1d4, 1d6, Zach? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe it's just 1d4.
1d4, so they'll get the bonus of 1d4. If you do it during making, you do an inspired argument, then you will get a, I will re-roll the damage dice that you deal and take the better of the damage dice. So it's a potential to deal more damage to their core argument. So to start this off, let's just break down the first part.
I'm so wrong. It's a 1d6. I apologize.
It's a 1d6. Even better.
Yeah. I had to look up on Roll 20. Why did I think that was a...
Even better for you guys. So to start this off, let's just decide in this situation, the core argument that they're holding on to is that it's their, due to the contract they have with Clive, it's their right to hold him here and to question him for as long as they feel necessary. That's the argument you're trying to break. They haven't pulled weapons. They're a little bit flustered, but they're not like on the verge of attacking you. They're just kind of trying to get this done with the communication. What do you guys feel is your best method to getting him out?
Could we use the Queen's royalty card?
No.
As a...
No, so your options
royalty
are...
Royalty card
do you
right
think
here.
That this is,
yeah, but you're gutter
royalty
now.
Do you think that
now.
This is a persuasion, an intimidation, or a deception?
Is the Queen aware of anything that was happening while she was in the key? Or am I just
yeah,
fully...
Yeah, you're aware of everything.
So I could hear everything?
You could hear, yep. And you could see a little bit. I'll say it was probably kind of hard to
just
see.
Just like cloudy, but okay.
Yeah.
I think with the chance of
persuasion.
Patricia, dear, you were able to easily persuade these Boris. What's the plural of Boris? These.
The Boris.
The Boris.
I like the Bori.
they're soft little kittens.
Perhaps we continue that path?
I could also, I would also offer a quick, are we having this conversation in real time?
Yeah,
we just
have
a quick huddle.
Yeah, this is kind of like a brief, like, bullet time discussion of, you have to make a decision on what kind of direction you want to take.
We could take the deception route, say he's made a contract with us that we need him to uphold in the immediacy.
That supersedes their contract.
The contract is important, that is a viable.
What was that?
A contract that supersedes their contract. So we made a contract before I made it with them, is what you're saying. Is the
yes, and within the line items of the contract, it says it supersedes any current or coming contracts. Whatever. Bullshit.
Yes.
legal jaunter.
Yeah.
Banter. What's the
legal,
word?
Legal jaunter. You got
jargon. You went for jargon and
jargon. There we go. Thank you. Legal
banter
jargon.
Banter and jargon. Jaunter.
Jaunter.
We could try that. They are a very powerful guild around here. They carry a lot of weight. So I'm not sure that they're going to honor any other contracts, especially if it's someone that they've never even heard of.
Fair. Oh. I would also offer along the persuasion route, if you would, that we assist you on whatever your on upholding whatever contract you may, whatever details may be within the contract that you have with them.
You'll be my hirelings.
Yes,
I like that.
The Queen is visibly upset at the mention of this.
Yeah, this is going to be a real fun interaction between the Queen
the
and Clive.
The Queen will be no one's hireling.
I know. Just play along. It's fun.
It's fun.
And here, you can hold, right, you
so
can
you
hold
guys...
my scarf. I'll give you something to do.
The Queen drops the scarf.
It falls to the ground immediately.
The Queen begins casting Witch Bolt.
The fingers are crackling.
Crackling black lightning appears at your fingers. Okay, so what do you guys think? Persuasion or deception? Or
yeah, persuasion. Can I ready a break free? Like, can I? How does that?
He's fine.
So we'll just, once you guys are ready, you just tell me what you want to do.
Well, we could try the deception route. I mean, there's only one person really who outranks their guild, but it's a little iffy. I'm not sure if they'll buy it. I don't know if you're from around this area, but my
and I'll tell you, if you choose the wrong direction and pursue with it, it will like it just will you'll recognize early on it goes poorly.
It's a total but party kill and the entire damage. Podcast is over.
It may cause some damage to your it will take you a couple turns to get righted and then you may take some damage to your core argument. So it's not the end of the world, but you want to it's not the best foot forward.
I think though dim-witted they may seem, I think we maybe should go the persuasion route.
Okay.
We all have a way with words.
Okay.
Jaunter.
All right.
I don't.
So you start, you turn to talk to them after this brief bullet time happens, and he says, all right, let's, everyone sit down. Everyone take a seat. Let's just talk this out. We don't want any trouble. We want to make sure we don't upset our boss. So take a seat, and let's figure this out.
Yes, let's make sure we don't upset our boss.
Yes. What would upset your boss in this scenario? The Cogman, if I heard correctly.
Mm.
His name's Cogman, and we made a contract. We made a contract that you would deliver the number one weaver. You are a skill hunter, as you claim, even though you failed on your last two deliveries, Clive. And we gave you a very valuable key that has now gone missing, that was made of gold, that was maybe something magical that we could have bartered with. So it's cost him a lot, and Cogman's really frustrated. So you got to make sure that you're providing... And I see no woman here that is the acclaimed weaver that you said you were going to bring us. So that is our main argument, and now it's your turn. So what would you guys like to do as your actions?
Clive points to the queen. He's like, look, here's the lady. She has the scarf.
She's holding the scarf. Look, clearly a very, very talented weaver.
She says she dropped it.
That's true.
She's a little clumsy sometimes, but once she gets that zone, she can really knit up a story.
The queen is absolutely
the witch
offended.
Bolt is back in her fingers.
The queen, I'm not clumsy. The queen wants to know who the hell this guy is. The queen is not concerned with deceiving anyone at this point.
Borai, I would like to offer that we are also in search of this masterful weaver, whatever term you used. For different reasons, though that may be, we are also in search of them, so our interests align. Would you mind if we were to prolong this contract so we could also remain in pursuit of this weaver?
Yes.
With our friend here.
So that was a very well-spoken thing, Patricia, but are you trying to stall them? To have your teammates have an opportunity to investigate for evidence, are you trying to make an argument?
I thought I was proposing a persuasive argument. I don't know, to show that we are both aligned with them in the pursuit of this and assisting in the execution of the contract.
I think it will react more as a stall since you don't have any evidence to support. You know, you like what's your evidence that? They know that you're looking for this woman in that sense, you know, so they, I think you need something more substantial, either one of their secrets or something from around the room to push that forward. So it will act as a stall.
Can we try to investigate while she's stalling?
Yeah. And while she's stalling them, your teammates have a chance to investigate.
So the queen to the group would say, what is the argument that we are trying to make so that we can find evidence to support it? Is the argument that we're trying to make eventually that we also have a contract and that we're looking for Marina, that we will find Marina? What is the argument that we are trying to make, and let's find evidence to support it?
I think, and from an outside's perspective, I think the goal is to destroy their argument that they have a right to sit there and hold Clive for as long as they want,
okay.
Because you guys need Clive. Your goal is to get Clive out of this situation,
okay.
At least for now, so that you can get information out of him freely.
So the argument we're trying to make is that they have no right to hold Clive.
Yeah.
Because they're mad because it's
and so we need to
so
find
long.
Evidence that they have no right to hold Clive.
Yes. Yes, that's a good way to think of it.
So is an action... Sorry, I'm just trying to figure it out.
No. This is all new.
Could I demand, the queen demand the contract from Boris, demand to see the physical contract from Boris?
Sure. So we'll say that's an investigate for evidence. So first, Zach, why don't you give me a roll for stalling them with your very good words. And give me, so it's a persuasion check, and the DC is 3.
17.
17. Okay, so they are very invested in the things you're talking about. And they're like, I see your point, I see your point, and I think you're making a good point, but that would have to get passed by Cogman, we'd have to run it up the line, and this is just something we want to get done now. Queen, while that's happening, you interrupt to say...
Excuse me, could we see this contract, a physical copy of this contract? I'd like to read it over myself instead of all of these words that could be easily skewed.
Roll an investigation check with advantage because of the successful stall from your teammate.
21.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 21. He says, yeah, I mean, sure, that's fair. And he pulls out a piece of paper from a messenger bag and he hands it to you. And going over it, Queen, as you're reading through it, you recognize that it clearly states that the date of delivery is the morning of the Great Copper Draw, which you learned previously from Skeevy Pete that that doesn't happen for 2 more days.
Ha-ha.
So this is just a piece of evidence that you've obtained. So this can be used now in a making an argument.
Is there what's the word? I can't think of the word.
Date.
Who this time. Came from? A at the top. It happens.
Oh, letterhead.
Thank you, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's from the the Chestnut Crew Gambling Guild, and it said the sign names at the bottom are Clive. Clive Sebastian von Stupperstein. Is that how you say it all?
Von Stupperstein.
Clive Sebastian von Stupperstein and Cogman Chestnut are the names of like the agreement.
Well, that could be any Clive Sebastian von Stupperstein.
So that is a successful evidence collection. So that you now have evidence that can be used in an argument. Now, does anyone else want to take an action? You two, Clive and Smythe, also have actions you can take.
I want to do an investigation as well. Just around the general room, I guess, to see if there's anything that might help in an argument.
Sure.
So
an investigation check with advantage.
Okay. So that means I roll it twice and I take the higher. Is that what that means?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So that is a 15 plus 1, so 16. And okay, so 16.
A 16. Okay, so with the 16, you kind of look around, and being as a person that's been in town for some time, you're obviously been around here for years. You recognize that while Boris, the head guy, has a pouch that's a little hefty with har coins, Boris and Boris are kind of like, while they're a little nervous that this could become a conflict or something, they're kind of like leaning with their arm, like protecting their pouch, and you notice that their pouch maybe has like a single coin in it, maybe two. So those two are very stressed out about their lack of har coins. So they're kind of, you know, sitting with their arm over the mouth of it to make sure that if this becomes a fight that they're protected, you know, and they seem a little bit that maybe there's in the fact that they're jealous of Boris or something, but that the people that he's employing maybe aren't very well funded.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
Smythe, you, as you're sitting back, kind of, you're not, social interactions aren't your strongest suit. You are sitting back and you see these kind of mental psionic locks floating around Boris's head as a primary communicator. You could take an action to it. You notice that they're quite flimsy. It looks like these aren't incredibly like his deepest, darkest secrets, but maybe it's just little pints of information that he has floating around in his head that aren't very well guarded. Maybe in the future you may encounter people that have like very strong grips on their secrets, but this person doesn't seem very, he's loose-lipped, probably at the bar spills a lot of secrets.
Gotcha. I've also ducked back into the corner like Strider and Lord of the Rings, and I'm looking through my hair No one can really see.
Like, that, what a great what did that guy persuasive, do?
Just quietly hiding in the corner. Yeah, exactly. Just like that. Zach.
Don't mind him. He's not great with people.
He's not hired for his social skills. He's just living back there.
Yeah, and then all I start punching my fist into my palm again. No. All right. Yeah, I want to do a little attack on their mental locks.
Yeah. So you kind of meditate into a mental plane, and you find yourself
levitating and sitting cross-legged.
In your mind's eye, you find yourself materialized in this mental, like, purplish plane, and you see that your bow is with you and your Malorfa metal band, so you can make an attack on the lock.
Oh, well, yeah. I'll shoot my au revoir the arrow. I just pull it out of it, like, an invisible quiver from my back.
And it materializes, and you feel the feathers between your fingers.
And I notch my bow, and I knock on the wood, knock three times on the ceiling, and then I fire at this mental lock. Is there only one that I see?
Yeah, there's two of them floating, but roll an attack.
Okay, so this is my +5, right, because it's my proficiency and my bow. 16 plus 5, so a 21.
Okay, you definitely hit. So roll damage.
Okay, damage is 1d8 plus
yep,
3.
Plus your
8 plus 3. That's okay, nice first rolls.
You shatter the lock, Smite, and Boris's voice echoes through your head as the lock shatters, and he says, "You know, I hate to do this because I know that Clive is struggling just as much as the rest of us, but." The boss is trying to help a lot of one-coiners with this, and pulling off this heist may be the only way to do it. So we gotta get this done. And then the voice fades.
What heist?
You do notice, Smite, that as you are kind of still partially within this realm, being able to visualize into it, that a couple of little, like, imps, like mental, like, stress demons, they're like demons of stress, are like, and they notice you, and they're like kind of clawing around, like, sniffling.
I say au revoir, and I pull my arrow back to me.
You pull your arrow back. That's the end of your guys' turn for this round. So the mental demons will make an attack against you.
All of us, or just... Oh, I guess
just,
it's all of us.
Just Smythe.
Okay.
Just Smythe, but they missed. They got a 5. So
that's right, they missed.
They kind of... They jump at you, and you exit the psionic realm, and you're back with your information. And,
I ran up that hill.
And they're gone.
But if they had hit, sorry, just a logistics question. If they had hit, it would come out of that pool of 8. Correct?
Yeah. So okay, what would happen is they hit, and then Smythe would like have an outburst of like, ah, you know, or like yell something, or just it causes like a emotional issue.
So they're only having to like meet his AC in that individual attack or whatever. But if it was going to cause damage, it would cause damage to the pool.
To the pool.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I understand the mechanics. Sorry.
All right, well, let's enter round 2. So we've entered round 2. You guys, their only defensive was Boris kind of said, you know, guys, we're not really getting anywhere. We're kind of on a schedule. We kind of got to get to places. So he is getting a little bit, if this goes another round, he's going to start getting impatient, which will start damaging your guys' social resolve. So what would you guys like to do?
I turn around and say, Your Majesty.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I guess I'm just your grace. Oh.
Thank you. Y'all set that up so perfectly. I'm so glad. I was exactly what I was praying for.
I saw on your face. That's what you wanted.
Oh, damn. Were you able to gather any insight from the contract?
Is there anything on the contract about the Bori?
The Bori themselves?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It was just
they're not referenced. They just work for Cogman.
Well, Patricia, it seems the date of delivery for this particular contract is 2 days from now, which I believe I also overheard is the day of the copper draw, whatever that is. It seemed important. Yes. It seemed like a big to-do in town.
Yes, whatever that is.
So we still have time. We can
limited amount of time, only 2 days.
I mean, but they don't need him. And their need isn't immediate because they still have 2 days,
and that gives us 2 days to get out of town. And by that point, who knows where we are?
Indeed, Clive.
And from you, William, any insights?
Well, I spied with my side eye. Boris seems to be, or Cogman seems to be looking for Marina so that they can win to get this gold to help a bunch of one coiners. That's the term I heard. Seems a little mean, but
problematic.
Problematic, yeah. These classist. One coiners.
Oh, yes.
So Boris, as terrifying as he is, feels bad for doing what he's doing to Clive. Could we appeal to his sympathy, his empathy?
I see. Does anyone want to put forth this counter argument?
Well, and if that doesn't work, I know that his two, the Bori underlings, don't seem very satisfied with the situation going on. So I don't think it would take much to persuade them against the main Bori. If it came to it.
Sure.
Does the main Bori have.
Yeah, does
gold?
The main Boris have a lot of gold? Or like
he
a
has
day?
More heart coins.
Heart coins?
It certainly has a lot more than the other two.
He has more than the others.
Could we persuade them to turn on him? And join our cause?
Yes, we'll give them a fair share.
Do you hear the people sing? We start singing One Day More.
So would you like me to throw something at them?
Yeah, sure. I'm not very good at throwing.
Okay. Do we want any more evidence? I'm happy to stall if we want more evidence.
Yeah.
I think we're good enough with what we have right now.
Oh yeah, he did say after this turn he starts to get bored.
He's gonna start getting impatient.
Yeah, that's
sure.
So
we're already impatient.
So is Boris the one that's in the lead?
Boris is the main.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I don't want to assume it wasn't Bor-Ace.
No. And Bor-Ace is who you slapped. Bor-Ice.
Well. Boris, a quick question for you.
Of course.
Why were you holding young Clive here? Just curious. Can you answer that question?
He kind of scratches his head. We have a contract with him, and by the terms of the contract, it's time for us. He's got to deliver his deliverables today.
And I hold up my hand to the queen and say, may I?
Of course.
Grab the contract from him. It seems to me that this contract is still active at this point. As far as I understand, 2 days from now. So why is it that you're holding our friend here hostage when he has more than enough time to both meet the requirements of the contract I'm holding?
He kind of leans back and forth and shifts his weight.
Again, 2 full days. 2 full days at the very least.
And Smythe holds up 2 fingers and says, 2.
Boris, says, what is this?
Yeah, but my past experience with Clive...
Nothing here. This is a current contract, not a previous one. Mm-hmm. And however, what you're doing right now is obstructing his services that he has offered. He certainly can't be searching for this Master Weaver when he is stuck in a room with the likes of you three. So if you don't mind, we're going to take this contract and we're going to make our way out into the world and find ourselves that Master Weaver. All will be well in the end.
Yeah, he kind of shifts and he says, I already rolled the damage, by the way, from your...
it was critical.
Making an argument. And you dealt 3 damage, which they only had 3 HP. So you have broken their core argument. So he kind of shifts on his side. He's, you're making a good point. Fine. But, we will be calling on this contract, Clive. You better not go anywhere. You're bound by soul, by Harcoin to this. You walk out those gates and you don't come back in 2 days. Your Harcoins are going to disappear. And let me tell you, buddy, I know you don't have many. So don't you go messing with us. Okay?
All right.
Threats are not necessary.
You seem to be
Boris,
very obsessed with me, Boris.
So obsessed. Sorry.
He kind of puts his face in his hands. He says, okay, yeah. You have 2 days. To you guys, I mean, you're putting yourselves in with the losing horse, in my opinion. But if you're looking for work, if you're looking for maybe a way to get this guy out of what he's probably going to fail to deliver on as he has 2 other times, Cogman's always looking for help. We've got a big plan coming up, so, you know, you can find Cogman down Bent Penny Lane at the Copper Screw. If you're looking for more information, or maybe you need to find a little work yourselves. But I agree, yes, he has two more days, so we're not going to push any further. He's all yours, apparently.
And Boris, and I guess to a greater extent, Cogman, I would like to offer, if someone has burned you twice in the past, perhaps do not draw up a third contract with them if you do not trust that they can follow through.
Absolutely, that's bad business.
Think that a member of the royal family would really be able to hold out and be a benefit, but apparently he's just a dud.
Never done a day of work in my life until 3 years ago, so I don't know why you're that surprised by it.
I'm going to look at Boris and Boris. Is that right? Boris? Who are the names?
Yeah, the Boris and Boris.
The two side henchmen, and I'm going to both give them 2 hard coins each. And then I'm going to stare at Boris as I do it, too.
And they're like,
I don't know why.
Oh, thank you just, so. Thank you.
Just a little tip.
Bud. Really just appreciate it. Don't know where that's coming from, but thank you.
For your cooperation. And then I again stare at Boris.
And he says, we'll see you in 2 days. And they stand up and leave.
I really hope Smythe doesn't die in this world for giving out all of his hard coins.
Yeah, I just remembered I gave some of my hard coins to that old lady. Yeah, yeah.
You know what happens when you run out of those, right?
Oh, I'm very well aware. I enter the ethereal plane.
Oh,
for good.
You die.
I become my
leave,
side
and
eye.
You guys have the room. They depart.
Smythe sighs and then collapses. He's scared into of arguments. Chair. No, he just falls to the ground.
What sort of room are we in?
You're in an apartment, but it's like a room that they rented. It's very lowly furnished. It's usually, you know, this apartment complex is like in this rougher part, you know, it's not a terrible part of town, but it's just not, they haven't furnished all these apartments because they're not all rented. It looks like maybe they were starting to get these rooms ready for, since the Queen's games are going on, they're expecting more people to be arriving. But it's just lightly furnished, has a table, some chairs, and maybe some utensils in like the kitchen and things.
Question for Harrison, does Clive know? I don't want to continuously keep pushing Clive for information on Marina if Tyler does not know that information. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to keep persistently asking, hey, where's our friend that we know is going to be gone because they're doing movie things, like, right now. I know we're, like, kicking that can down the road, but it still seems pertinent that that is a ongoing quest for us and for them. And I don't want to keep asking, like, where are they? And then Tyler has to kind of just bullshit or make stuff up, which I'm sure he's fine at doing, but I'm just, like, I don't want to force him into a situation that he's completely ignorant of.
I think Clive does have helpful information. I'll just say that much. At least for a mild direction.
Does Tyler have helpful information?
So, first of all, your Majesty.
Yes?
Welcome back. It's only been, you know, a day perhaps, but your presence is welcomed.
I appreciate that, Patricia. Now that we are past this recent unpleasantness with these Boris, where, I need some more information. What I could perceive while I was inside of the key, which is an insane thing to say, was very limited. What is our end game here? And I'm looking at Clive. I don't really want to be including Clive. I do not trust Clive. I need more information on him before I'm going to welcome him into the fold.
What more information can we offer? Well, William and I took a stroll through what seems to be a growing festival. A yearly thing? Who could say?
Yeah, I heard something about some Queen's games. I'm unfamiliar with this concept. You'd think I'd be aware.
Certainly. Well, something you may not be privy to. We have moved to a different world. If you remember the
if you remember last seeing Snow White, a part of you, as far as I understand, followed with her. The rest of you are here with us. I don't think you're separated necessarily, like a part of your memory is with her, but more so a copy of you is with us now.
This is sounding familiar. My memories of those last few moments with Queen in the castle are very, very muddy. It's almost as if I have two separate competing memories, and then everything kind of gets jumbled for a while. So I suppose I'll just catch up as we go.
Yeah, as I said before, you kind of get used to it.
I'll take your word for it, Patricia. So what is our end game here? Are we to stay in this filthy little apartment? Are we to... Do we need to go speak to this Cogman? Who is... I don't like the idea of working for someone, necessarily. Is that a person that we need to get leverage over? What is our plan here?
Clive, could you try to lead us to Marina?
Marina?
Yeah.
Veronica?
Oh, yes. Well, you see, that's a little complicated. I think I might know where she is, but I don't have any interest in going there.
And why, pray tell, do you not have any interest in going there?
Well, there's a certain someone I'm trying to avoid. Things are a little rocky right now. No, Cogman's fine. He's a sweet guy, really. But there's a certain someone who I've been trying to avoid these past few years, hence, you know, this general lifestyle. But Well, let's just say it would not be good to meet this person.
So did you have any intention of upholding your end of this contract? It does not sound like you did, considering you walked out on the past two engagements.
Possibly. You never know. I mean, in the moment, it could have happened, but I don't generally like to plan things out ahead that way.
An exceptional way to conduct your life, I suppose.
It has worked so far. I mean, as you've seen, I walked out on the last two and there were no consequences. So, like I said, they're just sweet little kittens. They don't mean anything.
So, at this point, where do we see ourselves going? We know that Marina is somewhere in this world. We know that there is likely some wrong that needs righted in this space, as it has been in our previous space in the Queendom and in the worlds prior.
I'm sorry, what worlds are we talking about?
Oh, far beyond your imagination.
Oh.
Think of the farthest places you know. And then double that.
Oh. And then flip it and reverse it.
And then go just slightly further than that.
Yes.
And second star to the right.
Yeah, and then on to morning.
Straight on to morning.
Your very strange dress and that peculiar conversation you were just having a minute ago. I could not follow a single word of it. Talking about someone named Snow White, which I love the name. I might borrow that later on. But
yeah,
okay.
She was such a charmer. At this point, like, what are our leads? Like, where do we go? It feels as if you are withholding some information, as you did have the shawl that our dear friend Marina did wear.
Yeah,
He also has her bag.
And
is there vodka in there?
So
he has Marina's not knitting supplies. He has all of Marina's.
Effectively, you have all of our dear friend's personal effects. To take us to her. You have no interest in going to her because you are being pursued from someone I assume you have angered in the past.
I'd like to make an intimidation check.
I'd like to see you try.
He immediately backs off.
And so, Clive, whoever you are.
Your Grace, but yes.
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry?
Your Grace, I assume.
Yes, yes. Did you have a question?
Did you have a question?
I'm very confused. I don't understand.
You seem very confused.
Yes, well, you're a very perplexing person.
It can't keep it together.
This is gonna be so fun. Okay. So,
Clive, what possible reason do we have to trust you if you won't give us even a crumb of information about our friend Marina, who for some reason you seem to be referring to as Veronica?
Did you kill her?
Kill Veronica? No, she was a lovely. She reminded me of my dear sweet grandmother. But no,
there's just a lot of past tense here, Clive. There's a lot of she was, and we're concerned whether or not she still is.
Well, I couldn't speak to that, honestly. I'm not with her at the moment, so.
Interesting. But you know her general whereabouts. You have no interest in getting us there. Who is it that's pursuing you that you are so adamantly trying to avoid? Could you give us that information?
Could we infer that it is perhaps some member of their royal family, given that they've made mention of living in this sort of squalor?
Well,
squalor, I think, again, is a bit reductive. It is
no,
just
it's not a little reductive. This is squalor.
I mean, I can't argue that.
Well, we've all lived in various apartments in Los Angeles, have we not?
Is this in that strange world?
Los Angeles.
I mean, is it safe to assume that it is like you don't want to see your sister, your mother, your father, whomever it may be?
Your beard.
My beard. As you can see, I'm very clean shaven. I wouldn't say they're quite family. Not yet. I mean, that was the intention. I barely know you people. I don't... You see... Things in this kingdom have gotten very, well, strange the past few years, and it's hard to know who you can trust. Anyone can be working for anyone at this point, and I've learned that you have to be very careful about who you divulge certain information to.
As it is in our world, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. How could you trust three strangers who put their necks out for you?
Yes, but what is your intention?
To find our friend, and your intention seems to be to hide our friend.
My intention is to survive as long as I can.
And we have done everything in our power since meeting you to further that agenda.
I guess it does seem that we are stuck together for now. So, I believe your friend Veronica... is with the Queen's Guard.
The Queen's Guard.
All right.
Ingrid, have you any idea?
Obviously, Smythe, I'm unfamiliar with the Queen's Guard in this particular territory.
Fine.
Oh, are you like a maid for Queen's Guards back where you're from? Is that...
The Queen is absolutely stark still. Her eyes have never been wider than they are right
the
now.
Witch
again,
the witch bolt.
Oh, or perhaps a cook.
Smythe
steps out from in between them.
A maid or what?
Well, you seem to be very familiar with the Queen's Guard, wherever it is you're from, so I'm just trying to make that connection.
Yes, I would say I'm exceptionally familiar with the Queen's Guard.
Oh.
Well.
I would say we are all familiar with various aspects of royal livings, holding different roles in our lives. At
it's
this
very
time,
different,
however,
Patricia. Very different roles.
Extremely
in the
different.
Yes.
Extremely different. From queendom to kingdom to queendom. Okay. Well, refocusing back onto the issue at hand, you know. You know, a fair question, Clive. But at this time, we have... What time is it, Harrison?
2:26.
Evening?
No,
sorry. I understand.
I think it was evening. It's like the evening.
Okay. Like 7 or 8?
I'd say like dusk. Yeah, like the sun is almost set. The sun is almost fully set.
We have no means, have no reason to wander these streets at night. We need to hold fast to our har coins, Your Majesty. She defers to Ingrid. Not to be invasive at all here, Clive, but I mean, do you have your har coins at hand? Do you know where they are? Do we? At what risk are we to? Are you to us? Of succumbing to the gambler's curse? Like, where are you vis-a-vis?
Well, that's a very personal question.
Of course, I do not deny, but at the same time, it is something that is exposed to the world, is it not? Where is your coin purse?
I say.
We're adults.
Clive crosses his legs.
Again, I say we are getting very personal. I mean, it's just on me, right? Like
Yeah, Clive, they always like have to be visible. Yeah. It's the curse, like the magic of them won't let you hide them. They always will like find their way out. But yours are at your hip. Like you may have because you're holding Marina's bag in my mind, like on your lap now. It's like a little obscured, but it's in like a royal, we'll say a lavender. We'll just say it's a purple bag.
Calf
with
skin.
A golden string that has it tied shut. But you can see, they may not be able to fully see it, but it's quite light on hard coins.
I'm just going to, I can do an investigation check just to determine like.
I was just about to see.
Unless you want to divulge that sort of information.
It could be heavier. I mean.
Well, Clive, we certainly can welcome you into our sort of fold in the immediacy. However, we do need some answers from you. Are you willing to part with any of your knowledge?
You can ask your questions, and if I feel so inclined, I will answer them.
Okay, I'm going to just roll investigation checks after everything he says to see if he's fucking with me, okay?
Insight checks?
Insight, excuse me, I'm so sorry. Where did you get the bag? We specifically need to know when and where you got the bag.
All right. I got it from your dear friend Veronica.
Marina.
Bless you.
when did you get the bag?
Was it
given freely?
No.
Or did she just happen to leave and you happen to take it with you so it wouldn't be left?
Well, she was gone and the bag and the scarf were still behind. So I grabbed them to guard them for her when I assumed she came back from the restroom.
She left them to go to the restroom.
Well, she left them. I don't know where she went. That was just my assumption.
Did she leave alone?
Well, see, the bar had been raided by the Queen's Guard, and things got
a little
chaotic.
Seems an important detail to note. Just as we further this conversation, things like that, very important.
I mean, I did mention she was with the Queen's Guard, but she was missing after that. So that is why I'm saying it's possible she's with the Queen's Guard. They raided
it. Forgive me for my inference here. You previously had said the Queen's Guard, and then you said that Marina gave you the bag, but as we've moved further into it, it seems you've taken the bag, and those are two very different things. And so you might see where we have additional questions every time you answer a question, more questions come up. Do you follow where we are here, Clive?
Yes, but I would say in the rules of finders, keepers, losers, weepers, I mean, she was no longer in sight. The bag was left there. As I said, I took it for her own protection, but yes.
Now he is keeping and she is weeping.
How considerate of you. I have yet another follow-up, because every answer you give asks seven more questions on my end. Something that the Boris has made mention to.
Mm.
What gold key were they talking about?
Well, it's a golden key they gave me as like an advance on my payment for the contract, but it seems that it is missing at the moment.
Actually, Clive, you may be a little bit heated about this, and you probably, I probably should have mentioned you noticed it sooner. They melted their key that you had into the queen.
Yeah.
When she was formed.
The V key.
I will say, now that I'm thinking back to it, it looked very much like the one that you had around your neck that you just materialized this person into. And I was wondering, where did you get that key?
Oh.
Now that we're asking questions.
Cool. Yes, of course. Here, I will be forthright with my answer and say, like, when we, let's say, appeared in a field, we noticed, let's say, several things.
I think it was a meadow.
It was more of a glade, I think.
It was more of a glade.
Thank you. I wrote down the word. it was a when we first appeared in a glade, we noticed a couple of things, one being a string of yarn, assumingly belonging to our dear friend Marina. Secondly, it was a it was this golden key. I thought it was a brass key, but it's apparently a golden key. And this golden key was used to bring back our friend, the queen, Ingrid.
Patricia, what you're saying sounds an awful lot like, one might say, finders keepers, losers weepers.
Oh, exactly my thoughts. And I'm, was it queen? Was that what he just called you, your majesty?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, I see, I see. My mistake, I am so sorry. And I give a little bow. A little curtsy.
She's, the queen's a little taken aback, but definitely appreciative.
Well. Yeah, I, and...
Yes, what have you to say to this, Patricia?
She gives a simple shrug. Well, we, as I said, we are forthright. We brought about the queen. This was a magical item that we came across and utilized it to bring about the existence in this space, at the very least, of Ingrid.
Smythe is even more suspicious now of Clive with this like sudden compliance.
And I will say, in the spirit of being forthcoming, we also found one other item. And she's going to like dig in her purse and find the coin that has
the hard coin
that has Clive's visage on it and flick it towards him.
And Smythe's gonna snatch it out of the air.
The queen was about to like leverage.
Oh, okay. Are you holding me back as I'm like about to like?
Okay,
how about that?
Go ahead.
In the spirit of being forthcoming, I don't know if how you want to spend this, Harrison, since I've already said the thing that I did.
No, I think if they truly want to try and snag this coin, you guys can do competing sleight of hand checks.
Oh, okay. That would be fun.
And Clive, you can do it as well, so it can be a three-way
sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand. Yep.
Well, I've got a 9.
Yeah, I got a 17.
I got an 18.
I got a 15. So, I'm like mid, like I just like launched it with my thumb, and it's doing like 3 somersaults through the air. Off screen, you just see the hand grab it.
And you see everyone kind of look to it and make a move, but the queen catches it between 2 fingers quickly and easily pulls it back and. Queen, it's your go. What did you like to say?
Clive, this seems obviously important to you. We all know the value of our Harcoins. The queen doesn't fully, I think, understand.
But we, yeah.
But he reached for it. Important. He reached for it, so you know it means something.
I know it means something to him. So, how about before we hand this extremely valuable token over to you, that we get a little assurance that you will help us on our quest to retrieve our friend, Marina Veronica.
Marina Veronica. So you're negotiating with my life, possibly, at this point, is what you're saying.
Well, what's must be done must be done.
I see.
We were certainly negotiating with our lives when we were facing those 3 brigands.
Thugs.
Not so. Hardly. As I said, they're sweet little kittens. They would have never hurt you. But
they do seem pretty
fine.
Nice.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
We would like some assurance that you're going to help us retrieve our friend Marina, and that you are truly working alongside us and not against us. When you have these little nuggets of information, it would be helpful if you shared them. That is what we're going for here. We'd be happy to have you as part of our efforts here in this space, but we need assurance from you that those efforts are not going to be in vain.
I see. I suppose I don't have a choice here. I acquiesce to your request, Your Majesty. He says as he rolls his eyes.
The queen clocks the eye roll, but is used to it. So the queen reaches the coin out and drops it into his hand.
Thank you.
As you hand over this coin, the door that led into the apartment falls open, and you see Skeevy Pete, who had like his hand like holding up near his ear, like he was listening in at the door, falls in. He's like, "Oh, I wasn't listening or anything. I was just checking in on you guys to make sure you didn't have any more trouble." Hey, I know you. That's Clive. Are you guys working with him?
Don't point at me, peasant.
Okay, peasant, bud. I think I've seen how many hard coins you have. You're not very much higher up than me, though, bud. I've gotten some hard coins from these people with my valuable information. I provide a service, Clive.
Who gave you their hard coins?
Well, my two friends here, Patricia and Smythe. Very good friends. You must be a friend of theirs, too. A pleasure to meet you, man. He bows a little bit to Queen.
The Queen, like, has her hand in one of her ears. Just his voice is grating on her last nerve. And he is so far beneath her that she recognizes that he said he had information. Nice. So she's not going to immediately be dismissive, but she is not going to acknowledge him. Yes, of course. Yes.
Can I just make an announcement to the general party? You do understand how hard coins work in this town. Don't give any more away. Unless you want to die.
Hey.
And then
hey.
Well, I will
people
take
are
them.
Running important businesses. They should still provide me with proper payment if I'm, providing important information. Don't listen to this whole thing completely. I mean, you got to make a living somehow. You got to spend money to make money, you know?
And as someone who lost their coin in a glade, I don't know how much advice we should take from you.
Well, it wasn't intentional, though. You're intentionally giving away your life, essentially. Mine was by accident. I would never intentionally give it away.
And you well, accidentally lost a piece of your life.
Yes.
How careless.
Exactly, Patricia. You're keeping up. Thank you.
Yes.
How careless.
What, pray tell, were you doing in that glade where Marina obviously was? You seem to have said you were in a bar together that had been raided by the Queen's Guard and that she had left that bar and you acquired her possessions, but we see evidence of Marina in this glade and also evidence of you with your ill-gotten, perhaps not ill-gotten, key and your Harcoin. I feel there's still yet more details that you have not shared.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, I was doing hard work, hard labor, wandering the countryside, looking
for
weavers.
A member
of
the royal family doing hard labor.
Well, a member of a royal family, yes. Patricia, yeah. Thank you.
Still
not necessarily this royal family, but as I said, the intention was to become a member of it. But as I was saying, I was taking a break from all the hard labor I was doing, and I just happened to notice your friend Veronica Marina sitting on a stump in the same little glade that I was in. And I, being the friendly, charming person that I am, decided to introduce myself to her.
How fortuitous.
For her, yes.
For us all, indeed.
And then we went to the bar after that. It was so hot in the sun.
Can I do an insight check on him?
If you want, but this is true.
Well, I got a crit fail.
And the wishing well wasn't far. That's where we went when the Queen's Guard raided.
Exceptional. What in the glade made you drop your belongings? Were you startled out of there? Did you have to make a quick escape over to the wishing well? Or
I might have lain down and rested my eyes for a moment, and I suppose it could have fallen out then.
Well, I would suggest you do better to secure your items as we continue on this journey.
Secure your bag, as it were.
Secure the bag.
Yes, great advice. Right. Thank you.
Always. At this point, should we fucking kick rocks? Like, just make our way out of this small apartment that we're currently in? Perhaps make our way over to the wishing well?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have rooms at the Wishing Well. So the current information, just to give you a rundown of what you know now, Marina is obviously missing. She, as far as you can tell, has been taken by the Queen's Guard. You don't know where that leads or where she's been taken. You're currently within the Copper Cobbles region of this city. You know that there are three other regions that also have events that will lead to determining the high roller for that region. And that these events are happening over the next couple of weeks. The most upcoming one is the Great Copper Draw, which happens in 2 days. And you have heard now rumblings that the Chestnut crew may be preparing some form of heist to interact with the Great Copper Draw. And that may be part of why Clive was such a point of interest for Cogman. So those are just to give you guys a rundown of what you've learned, what you know. And you always still have Skeevy Pete nearby if you want to try and buy some more information for the different things.
I have a Harrison question. Yes. Earlier it was Boris, I don't know, said something
about Boris.
Clive through the limits of the contract. Like if he doesn't deliver by the date, like he will die question mark. He said something bad would happen to him. If he leaves the town, is it that he leaves the Copper Circle or that he leaves town entirely?
When forming a contract, he was able to leave the town area, obviously, because he had to go look for people. But
right. If
he's not in town when the contract expires and doesn't deliver, then the Harcoins he was promised go against him and it would pull from his total. And if he doesn't have enough to cover it, he'll die.
Okay, and town being the entire circle,
the Gilded City.
Anywhere
within the Gilded City.
So he can travel further into the circles with us when the contract expires if he didn't have whatever. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So basically, if he doesn't deliver, then he has to pay the money he was promised, which he currently may not have enough, which then would lead to the Gambler's Curse taking him.
Got it.
So, compatriots and your grays?
Yes.
Graces?
Do we need in the immediacy? Where do we see ourselves going after this?
Well, it seems we... Go ahead.
I was to say, we certainly have a space waiting for us at the Wishing Well.
Yeah, I think
at least two Harcorns worth. I cannot remember what exactly we have. If it's two rooms or two twins, twin beds.
Two rooms and it's enough space. We'll just say there's enough.
We have accommodations awaiting us at the Wishing Well. However, is there anything we need to see to in the meantime?
Well, it seems beneficial from what I've overheard that we would move further in outside of this, out of the Copper Ring, and further in towards the center of the city to stand a better chance at competing in these Queen's Games, or getting more information on these Queen's Games. Am I correct?
The next one, we're heading to the silvers, to the silver space.
Yeah, the silver certificate.
And he says, you hear Skeevy Pete chime in. He says, I mean, I knew you guys had some extra money to spare to toss like someone my way, but I didn't think you guys were rich. You can make it into the silver range? Into the silver city?
How much does it cost? God,
please.
Well, it's 100 Harcoins per person to get into the silver streets.
Oh.
The queen is trying not to visibly react, knowing she has less than half of that, but she doesn't want Skeevy Pete to know that, so she's just looking as if like, oh, okay. Not a big deal.
Don't let that stress you out. To get to the Platinum Palisades, it's going to cost you 1,000 per, so...
The queen catches her breath for a second.
Dear Peter, has anyone made it to the Platinum Ring?
The Platinum Palisades?
But sure. Let's say without winning and
without paying fully. Has anyone ever made it to the Platinum Palisades?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, people are always willing to, there's some powerful people in every neighborhood. You know, I mean, Cogman is one of the most powerful people in this neighborhood. He may not have 4,000 Harcoins laying around to just toss anybody's way to get them into the Palisades, but he's definitely got a few hundred that he's got available to toss someone's way to at least get them to the Silver Streets. You know, the more powerful people that you can talk to around here, they can help you out. You know, get between these neighborhood fees are killer, but you know, make friends with the good people and they can get you there.
I'm not sure that we should, man. Fully trust
I mean, they're
going
to have a quest. They're going to have something you got to do for them. They're not just going to hand it over willy-nilly. Maybe if you're persuasive enough, like me. he smiles, missing many teeth. And he says, you do the right things. You work with the right people and you can get places.
So it seems our options in the immediate are to make our way to the wishing well for the evening and retire for the evening, regroup. Or to make our way down Bent Penny Lane to the Copper Screw and converse with this Cogman to see if perhaps there's something there. Those seem to be our two most immediate courses of action. What say you?
Yeah. Well, I do. I believe we were told of a heist. Is that not? Is that not correct?
You heard reference of a heist that was going to happen.
In 2 days' time alongside the Copper Draw, is that something that we should be around here for? Clive, do you have more information on the heist that you'd be willing to disclose?
No, I don't know anything about this specific heist. I know they all involve a lot of effort, so I usually try to stay out of those kinds of things. But they happen fairly often. I mean, like I said, generally a very good guy, so I'm sure he's not caught up in anything too bad.
Well, if a heist lends itself to perhaps four of us winning our way to the Silver Circle, or Silver Streets, or perhaps even more so to make our way to the gold or platinum areas, you know, perhaps it would be to our benefit to talk to this Cogman individual.
Should we make our way there now?
I agree, yes.
We know where he is right now.
I'm sure he's still awake.
All right.
Okay, cool.
Cogman Chestnut? Was that his
name? I don't know how to get there.
Skeevy Pete is like, oh, Bent Penny Lane? I hang out there all the time. I can run you guys down there. No cost at all, but I can be a guide.
So is he just going to hang around for the rest of the time, guys?
I've got business to attend to myself,
one of us now.
Clive. I got things that I want to do, too. So don't think that I'm going to be your little farrier all day. But I'll get you guys to Cogman. He's an old friend of mine. I'll make sure you have a good introduction.
Yes, Peter has been quite the asset.
To the Copper Screw, right?
Yeah, he's a good guy. I think Cogman will help you out.
All right. Well, shall we go see Cogman?
Sure.
Yeah, so you guys head out of the apartment building. You shut the door behind you, and you see that there's still quite a bit of bustle of activity, but people are more flocking towards the bars and things like that, and the establishments are still open as the sun sets and the darkness sets in. A couple of lanterns still flicker with light and keep, you know, the streets from being too dark, but as you get deeper into the cross streets and turns and finally make your way to Bent Penny Lane, you see that the brick is dented and scratched, and there's dirt, and it's just very beat up. The lanterns flicker, barely visible. The light is dim. But you see as you approach the Copper Screw at the end of a cul-de-sac, basically, you see that there's a bunch of tents set up. The buildings within the cul-de-sac all look like they're old and disheveled and kind of broken down, but people have obviously made many of these places like a flop house. You know, there's people sitting in the windowsills, like chatting. There's a lot of commotion. There's kids running around. It's a place where there's like tents set up and like a soup kitchen kind of feel of like a, you know, they've set up an area where they're giving out food, and there's people with, you see that, you noticed when you were interviewing with the people, but they have a copper gear patch that they wear on their sleeve. It's a metal copper gear. and in the middle of it, there's a chestnut. And you see that there's people that are wearing those patches that are handing out food and are chatting with people and putting on music and playing games and stuff. And it's a very lively atmosphere. And you see sitting with a brown, like, leather apron. He's wearing a tan shirt, long, or I'd say short brown, like, copper-colored hair with a bright red beard and, like, copper eyes, sitting laughing at a table right outside the copper screw is a large man. And Skeevy Pete points out, he says, "Hey, that's Cogman Chestnut. That's Cogman. That's the guy. I've got some friends to meet up with here. Some other, you know, whispers, secret finders. So I'm going to go and do some recon, but that's who you want to talk to." And he like disappears off into the crowd.
He turns into a puff of smoke. Yeah, he throws out a puff of smoke, but then we see
he drops all of his Harquins out of his bag
and dies.
Turns to glitter.
So the excellent introduction he promised us was simply him pointing at Cogman and saying, "That's the guy." So that was very worthwhile interaction with someone.
Yes,
named
well, I tried
Pete.
To warn you, Your Majesty.
It's the free one. And Cogman takes a big drink from the flask that he had or flagon that he has, and he puts it down and leans back to let out a hearty laugh. And as he kind of surveys the group of people all in the activity, he locks eyes on Clive's pink, bright lavender suit and pink hair, and he says, "Clive, what's going on?" And you see, like, poking their heads out of the boar are the Borises, the Borisai. And they kind of just roll their eyes and go back inside. And he says, "All right, Clive and friends, come on up. What's happening? What's going on?"
"Good evening, Cogman. How fares?"
"Yeah, Clive, don't bother me with the flowery speech. I talked to the Borisai. I know the basics. We're going to honor the contract. That's my bad for sending them to you early. But what's going on?"
"Well, I'll let my friends / hirelings speak to what their intention is."
"We found you a champion."
The queen immediately looks at Clive. "Hireling?"
"That wasn't you included. You were friends."
"Exceptional."
So the other
two. "Oh, are you paying? Are you paying us?" And I hold my hand out.
It's all part of the illusion, Smith.
I don't recognize you. I haven't seen you here before. Are you new? First time to the Copper Cobbles?"
"Oh, yeah.
I like elbow Patricia or the queen."
"Yes, it is our, and I look to the group. It's our first time into a lot of these areas. Thank you for asking."
And you see Boris comes up and he says, "Hey, boss, these are the ones I was telling you about. I think they're, yeah." And he gives a little, like, eye. You see, Patricia, you read a message via, like, eyebrows of, like, you know, he's kind of given some eye signs. And you interpret it to me.
Do
like,
you want me to, like, insight?
No, you know, I'll say, like, you interpret, like, his kind of glances to be like, these are the ones I'm talking about. I think they'd be a good fit. And then he kind of shuffles off and, yeah, you can carry on with what you're saying.
I don't know what I was going to say.
Well, and he says, "I hear you're good people. Not thrilled that you're throwing your hat in with Clive, but I can't complain. I take stock of good people when I have them, and I hear that I can put some faith in you, maybe."
"Well, if you were able to take enough faith in Clive, you certainly can have some faith in us." And I gesture to William and Ingrid. "How could we be of service?" She says with, like, some indication towards
and he says,
whatever may be happening.
"Well, I've got a little ditty planned with the Queen's Guard, and maybe I could find a place for you there. What are your thoughts on breaking and entering?" And that's where we're going to actually end our session for today.
Okay.
And that's going to end it for today.
What are your thoughts on light about crime? Bye.
I love a little B&E, some bacon and eggs.
Heard the tale, and now who knows where next our hero's path will go come next week, and you'll know. With Devin Redward, Zachary Blaylaw,
there's Adam Dunn and Andrew Forsythe too.
That's me.
Harrison Redward, he's the DM.
See y'all next week, and don't forget to like, subscribe, review.
Review.
Please review.
Quantum Dungeon.